Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome to Overnight America. Oh boy, what a week. This is all we're hearing over and over and over and over and over again. Impeachment starts tomorrow.
Tomorrow's hearing will last at least...
Nope, that's about as much as I care to talk about it, at least this hour. We got a lot on the show. Awful lot on the show. We'll complain about the weather. We've got a little bit of sports and some interesting things. Our sister station in Chicago, 670 The Score, Jeremy Roenick was on there. And I don't like Pretty Boy Roenick, but he told a Michael Jordan story that was hilarious. So I think we're going to replay that tonight. And an update to the Don Cherry story. I still think it's so ridiculous altogether. Next hour, we're going to have David Barnhart. He's a director of a film that's debuting this weekend at the St. Louis Film Festival. It's called Flint, The Poisoning of an American City. He's been following that story for the past 5 years. And some interesting things he's found. So we're going to talk to him about Flint and what's the possibility something like that happens in many other cities across the United States. A very special guest, Jay Muller's going to join us in studio. He was an intern here in the 1990s. He moved to Australia, and now he's one of the big-time producers, and he hosts a couple of different podcasts, but he's also a radio programmer that he's been living abroad all these years, and he's back in town visiting family. He was going to visit with us last night. However, with the way the weather was and the road conditions, we said, okay, we can move it back a day. Tonight is the night, and he's going to spend an hour with us tonight in the 10 o'clock hour, and I'm so excited to welcome him back to the KMOX studios. Well, when he was interning here, KMOX was still downtown. I need to make a confession this hour, and it's nothing that I'm proud of, but something happened today. This is how it went play by play. And I'm hoping I'm not the only person in St. Louis that this has happened to.
Beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
I wake up and I was ambushed immediately by my wife and son. I wasn't even three steps out of the bed. And then my son comes running in, and I can always know it's him. Practically, when you live in a house with someone, you could memorize their step patterns. Like, I know if I hear, bum, 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 I know it's my kid running. You know, I can tell when it's my wife walking. My wife can tell when it's me walking. And, of course, you can tell when it's the kid walking. And I knew immediately something was up there waiting for me to wake up. So you know what happens? 3 seconds after waking up, three steps out of bed, I hear, "Dad, Dad, let's put up the Christmas tree."
Of Janice and Jen, and Mom and Dad can hardly wait.
And in my mind, I'm thinking, "You got to be kidding!" And I understood the coordinated plan that my wife convinced my son to do. Because she thinks there's a better chance of me saying, yeah, let's do it, why not, if it's coming from our five-year-old. Oh, how dare I say no to a cute kid like that. So the question was asked. And after the questions were asked, I said, I don't know. Give me a minute. Let me think about it. And this was their rationale. The roads are bad this morning still. I don't want to go out and drive anywhere. This is a great opportunity for us to just do it because we're staying inside all day anyway. They were a little hesitant to go out because, I mean, last night it wasn't all that great with the roads still. So she said, oh, okay, I'll wait. And then we said yes, and we put up the tree. And I got to say, this may be the earliest we've ever put up the Christmas tree. So I don't know if I'm alone here. Am I the only person in St. Louis that has a Christmas tree up right now? I'm curious. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I don't care for decorations. I don't care to put the house in any certain way. It doesn't affect me at all. I don't get all worked up over it. But my wife does, like many other women. Oh, they got to have it look just so perfect. And I think she just likes the opportunity to make the house look different, a little bit more festive in its own way. I think she likes to move furniture because of the same idea. She'll say, oh, I want to move a chair over here. Or I want to put the couch this way. Or I want to move this rocker out of the room and over here. And then I want to put the bench over here. And oh, maybe I'll face these chairs this way. And she'll say these things and move them around because I think she gets a little antsy and she wants that little bit of change to spice things up inside of the house. So the tree is something that works for the last couple of months of the year. Now, my son did say something hilarious. He came out and he was holding something that was for my wife from the boxes of Christmas decorations that we had in storage. And he holds it up and he said, hey, Dad, where's my shoe bag? Where's my shoe bag? And he's holding my wife's stocking. Oh, you mean like to hang over the fireplace, the stocking? He called it a shoe bag. From now on, it will be the shoe bag. Oh, Renee's calling in. Hi, Renee.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Do you have the tree up?
My whole house is decorated.
Oh,
I love Christmas. I took my Halloween decorations down. And I said to my husband, you got to go and get everything out of storage because we're putting up Christmas.
Did he fight you on it?
He knows better. We've been married for 40 years.
He knows better. So immediately, you're talking November 1st, you had these decorations up?
And they were going, yeah, I took Halloween down, and the night, that evening, I started putting up Christmas. It takes me a week to decorate the house.
Do you have, like, Santa's Wonderland in your house? Like, what takes a week to put everything up?
Well, I've got a lot of junk. I've been married for 40 years.
So let's how many boxes do you have in storage for decorations?
About 35.
Whoa! Whoa. Do kids show up at your front door asking for a tour?
No. But you know what makes it so fun? I have two grandsons now, and they're 4 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And they just came over after I don't have them come over while I'm decorating.
Mm-hmm.
And my 4-year-old grandson walked in Saturday morning, and it was priceless. He walks in and he goes, wow. I mean, you know, my heart melt. What do you want? You can have anything you want. The little one came in, the 2-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he's got itchy fingers.
Uh-huh.
He starts taking the ornaments off the tree. And I said, no, we look with our eyes and not with our hands.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a wonderful time of the year. I wish we had the Christmas spirit all year long.
Oh, thank you, Renee, for calling in. And I'm glad I'm not alone. Have a great day.
Let your wife put that tree up anytime she wants.
Oh, no, not anytime. I had to really hold out because if it was up to her, it would be up probably before Halloween. She asked me actually in October if we could put the tree up.
Well, you know, I used to put up a Halloween tree.
That's the thing. I've never heard that.
I bought an orange Christmas tree and I decorated it for Halloween.
And then you would take the Halloween tree down and put the Christmas tree up.
I would take the orange tree, put it away, and then put the green. And that's in my entryway. I have 4 Christmas trees up.
Oh, Renee, you really get into it. All right.
Hey, I love it.
Thank you for calling in.
Thank you so much. Have a good evening.
You too. 4 Christmas trees up. Wow. Pete's calling in from, is this Minnesota?
This is Minnesota. I just wanted to say I was listening to you guys. I heard the St. Louis was saying it was 13.
Yeah.
And I got 13 on my Jeep right now in Minnesota, which is actually pretty cold for this time of year up here. I can't imagine how cold that is in St. Louis down
it
there.
It is. Yeah, we were not prepared. Well, we knew that it could hit record lows, and we thought we'd flirt with them but not break them, which we did break them, and they were cold all day long. Yeah.
Well, I'm praying for some global warming right now.
Well, I don't know. In Minnesota, this is like par for the course, isn't it?
No, this is actually more mid-December into January. I mean, it gets colder in that time of year, but no, our average is about 40-something, 42 right now, so yeah, we're even pretty low. This is, I mean, we've set some records up north.
Minnesota. You got some lifetime.
They were in the negatives up there.
You got some lifetime polar bears that live there that they probably don't even go out with a jacket.
No, I think there's people wearing jackets today. It's been pretty windy and cold, but I know we had some sportcasters out east, and they were walking around in shorts and stuff because it was in the 50s, and people are looking at them like they're crazy.
Yeah, I know how that goes. All right, hey, thank you, Pete. Good to hear from you.
Yep, take care. Yep, thank you.
Now he's driving around in his Jeep in Minnesota listening to this radio program in St. Louis, Missouri, talking about how cold it is here, and it's the same up there. We're used to it. Hopefully our friends over in Montana are doing okay. Glasgow, I worry about them so much. So am I the only one that has the tree up? Apparently not. I'm guessing there's a lot of Christmas trees up across St. Louis right now. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120 on Overnight America KMOX.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
Yep, got conned into putting up the Christmas tree today, and I spent a lot of time doing it. And you know what? This is the thing. Just goes to show you how cheap I am. You know, we don't need Bobo out there trying to tell me how cheap I really am. There's really no question, is there?
You're a tightwad.
I know. There's no question. We have one of those pre-lit trees, but a couple of the strings are out, so you have to use other strings of lights, which you put onto the tree and then off. And I said, you know what? I'm done with this. They're just going to go out. I tried a few things. I tried to change the fuses. Some of the plugs had fuses in them. Tried to see if there's any of the lights that were broken or whatever. But I just figured it out. It's not worth the hassle. So this is what I did. I went through the pre-lit tree with my scissors, and I cut all the lights off of it. And it took me like maybe an hour and a half to do this, but it was worth it. Now I don't have to worry about the hassle of always trying to work this out every single year. So my wife sees me up there trying to cut this stuff off the tree. I'm a little disgruntled because I didn't want to be there to begin with to put these Christmas decorations up. The whole deal is, if you want to do it on your own, you can. I don't like doing it. Go ahead, honey. Knock yourself out at this point. So now we got a tree in our front window because she has to show it off to everyone else. And now all the other neighbors, I'm sure, are judging us. They're saying, what are they doing with a Christmas tree up so early? I'm sure they're doing it. The temperatures were so terrible today. Very cold. I got these, I don't know what it is. Whenever the temperatures go from hot to cold to hot to cold, messes up my nose. And anyone else have some pretty chapped hands? I don't really use lotion or anything, but, you know, your knuckles get chapped. And, you know, any type you, when you move or create a fist or whatever it is, you can kind of feel that it's a little itchy or whatever. Maybe I need to start putting some lotion on, but hopefully it starts warming up the next couple of days when we look at the AccuWeather temperature. At least by Thursday and Friday, we can get back up to the lower to mid 40s. So by tomorrow, it should be even 40. So let's get it back up that way. But you saw this story at KMOX.com. It says MoDOT official says they were caught off guard by Monday afternoon snow. That should not be a headline. It shouldn't be a headline. Caught off guard by afternoon snow? We saw Alex Degman during his newscast bring this up. And here's what MoDOT had to say about it all.
We did our best for what we knew about. Yes, it wasn't our best day, and I wish it would have been better. But, you know, for the conditions and what we knew about, we did our best.
Yeah, boy. Here's the thing. If you were one of those cars that slid off the interstate, or you were someone that was stuck for how many, 3 hours, 4 hours on 70 last night when you were getting out towards St. Charles County? If you were someone that was worried to drive and afraid to drive, or you looked out your front door or your window and you saw some of the vehicles had a hard time getting up or down some of the hills in your neighborhood? If you're someone that just altogether didn't want to bother with it, are you satisfied with the, oh, we tried our best? I am kind of shocked by all of this because last week during this whole ordeal of we might get some snow during the drive into work on Thursday morning or Friday morning or whatever it was last week, they said, and they even put releases out and the news reported on it, Don't be alarmed if you see salt trucks out on the roads. Don't be alarmed if you see plows out on the roads. They're there just in case. We ended up getting no snow last week. How in the world can they be that prepared for it? At least in St. Louis, we didn't get snow. Farther down south in the state, we did. But how could we be that prepared for it all? And we could have all the plows out ready to go and start working. But a day that we 100% guaranteed are going to get snow and it's going to be cold, and we know it's going to be so cold it'll probably turn into ice, 100% guarantee we're getting it. How can they be underprepared on a day like that, but they're out in full force on a day when we don't need them last week? I don't get that. That shouldn't have been a question. The first snowfall of the year, they knew something like this was going to happen. My experience driving in, the highways were pretty slow. We were moving at about 30 miles an hour. You know, it's on average about 30 miles an hour. Sometimes you get up to 35. But in general, that's about how safe you felt driving, because that was about as fast as anyone else was going. And as long as you were moving, you were okay. But man, that stop on 70 yesterday, I keep hearing and seeing those reports and the pictures. It was miserable. And then you get back home and you got to deal with it all over again, because you wake up this morning, things are still as cold. And I'm driving home last night, you look to the left, you look to the right, you look all over, and what you see are just car after car after car after car, trucks and SUVs, and you look at it and you say, oh no, I'm surprised, that one looked like it had four-wheel drive. Why is that one in a ditch? It just could happen. Before you know it, it could just happen. I'm glad things are a little bit better today. I'm glad people were taking it easy today. I'm glad we're going to lose all of that snow over the next couple of days as temperatures get up to the 40s and we get some sun. That'll be nice. But here's the lesson here.
We did our best for what we knew about.
No, that's not a good thing. You didn't do your best. You didn't. You should have done better. And the thing is, too, yesterday, the whole idea of, we called everyone in and they're all working, the whole staff's out there. Okay, if that's your answer yesterday, we got the whole staff out there working and you're still out there, we did the best for what we can do. That does not give me a lot of optimism for what's going to be happening here in the next couple of months when things really get dicey. Some people even posted online. This made sense. This was more or less your starter winter, as in this is the trial winter, your test winter. Kind of remember how to drive in it, how to interact and be in it. I'm really not looking forward to these chilly, chilly, chilly days. I got used to coming into work without a jacket. Finally, you feel that way. And now it looks like those days are long gone. In a few moments, there's a few sports stories I wanted to get to. Jeremy Roenick told a story on our sister station in Chicago, 670 The Score, that I wanted to share. Don Cherry has given a couple of interviews since being let go from Hockey Night in Canada. And I feel for him, man. This whole idea of cancel culture and the way things have been going, it's just nonsense. And this is just another example of it. Adam Wainwright signs a new contract and some news about Mike Schilt becoming the manager of the year. National League, very cool. We'll get to those coming up on Overnight America KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Overnight America continues. If you missed the interview with Mike Schilt, you can catch it in the Sports Open Line podcast if you go to KMOX.com in the podcast section. Excellent interview. How cool is that? That's the power of KMOX. Mike Schilt hops on with Chris Raby just last hour. A little less than an hour ago. How cool is that? I had a few things I want to get to, and I wanted to congratulate Adam Wainwright. I think that it's just fantastic that he was signed for another year. So we know he'll stay in the Cardinals uniform. And it's so cool to see players that have played together for a long time in tandem. When you have a pitcher-catcher combination between Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina, the relationship that they have, the amount of success that they had over the years, it is so cool to see that Waino wanted to come back for another year and the Cardinals wanted him to come back. And in the article at KMOX.com, originally they mentioned that for the return of his 16th season, they didn't have the numbers yet. I saw online, was it $5 million plus an extra $5 million for bonuses? So it's worth it for another year to come back. And the way he performed in the playoffs, here's what I know about people that get the eye of the tiger, the championship mentality. When push comes to shove, when it's time to perform, they perform. And even if they're not in their prime, even if they're not like they used to be, they can still put it up when it matters. And look what he did in the playoffs and how important it was. Given a chance to the Cardinals, even when there was no offense, he still gave them a chance. That's all you can ask for. So good old Adam Wainwright signing that new contract with the St. Louis Cardinals. 38 years old. Wow. That is so cool. Plus, he's just an awesome person to begin with and just a real classy dude. So that's the type of people you want inside the locker room, and that's the type of people you always want to see around. There's an update to the Don Cherry story. Over the weekend, he did a coach's corner. And for us, Veterans Day was on Monday. They have Remembrance Day, which was Monday. And a lot of other countries do this. They do the little poppy flower. And I went through the history of it yesterday. You've seen them. For us in the United States, some people do them on Memorial Day. In Canada, they do it for Remembrance Day, which was just on Monday. And he was talking about the poppy flower and how disappointed he was that he wasn't seeing people wearing it anymore. He part of his coach's corner was about that. He got fired for what he said about it. Here, let me play for you what aired on the CBC over the weekend and see if you can spot the controversy.
You know, I was talking to a veteran. I said, I'm not going to run the poppy thing anymore because what's the sense? I live in Mississauga. Nobody wears, very few people wear a poppy. Downtown Toronto, forget it, downtown Toronto. Nobody wears a poppy. And I'm not going to wait. He says, wait a minute. How about running it for the people that buy them? Now, you go to the small cities and, you know those, the rows on rows, you people love, you that come here, whatever it is, you love our way of life, you love our milk and honey, at least you could pay a couple of bucks for poppies or something like that. These guys pay for your way of life that you enjoy in Canada. These guys paid the biggest price. Anyhow, I'm going to run it again for you great people.
Yeah, so he goes on and he runs the segment, which he was overseas and he was going and looking at some of the different graves of Canadian soldiers that were abroad, that were never brought home. And part of this idea is that you want to show respect and you want to show that you have reverence for what the soldiers of your company have gone through. Now, the poppy is something that started in World War I. And of course, there's all the other wars that it's associated with as well as it becomes associated with service to the country. And when I listen to that, I didn't catch any sort of racism from it at all. All I caught was someone saying, it's a shame that more people don't show respect for our veterans on Remembrance Day. That's what I caught from Don Cherry. He's 85 years old. He's been through it many years and many, many years, and I'm sure he's seen a decline in it. Let's look at St. Louis, for example. And anyone that's lived in St. Louis for decades could probably remember the changes in just the parades over the years. Think about all the different parades that the communities would hold around Veterans Day or Memorial Day and all the people that would go out. When you were a kid, when I was a kid, even in my hometown, all of those days, you were off of school and you would go to the main street or wherever was holding it in your town, and you would go out there and you would clap and you would cheer for your veterans, and you would, anytime you had an opportunity, you would thank them for their service and tell them how much you mean, how much they mean to you. You did that all the time. My parents always took me to parades for that. Anymore, if you see a parade that's scheduled and you go out to it outside of the 4th of July, how many people show up to those anymore? It's the same mentality. So he says it's a shame that more people aren't doing the poppy flower. I get it. But people started to hone in on the term he said, you people and don't respect, you know, you like to go to the land of milk and honey, but you don't want to respect our veterans. You know, he goes on to this rant and people took that as the you people, meaning all of you lousy, terrible, horrible immigrants to this country don't respect this country for everything it's afforded to you. To me, when I heard that, I didn't think of that one bit. We're now in a society where people are constantly keeping their radar up for an opportunity to be outraged about something. And that's what they found about Don Cherry. Over the weekend, enough people got outraged and they wrote, not Hockey Night, there's a company, Sportsnet. So there's a company that produces all the hockey games for the CBC. I think it's called Sportsnet. So he's employed through there. And they fired Don Cherry. To me, it looked like they just wanted to get rid of him anyway, and they were looking for the first opportunity to do so, the first exit off the highway, the Don Cherry highway. And Don Cherry's gone. He started giving some interviews today, and Global News sat down with him. And this is where it gets really sad, because as he's reacting to his firing, he's now saying things like, they never even gave me an opportunity to clarify my comments or even apologize. They just cut me loose. After all those years, didn't even give him a chance. They just said, you're out. This is what cancel culture is all about. I mean, it is so ridiculous. Here, let me play his reaction to getting fired. And this is today from the Global News.
Well, I think I used the word, I forget what the word it was, anyone. But what I should have said, everybody. And if I had to do over again, I would have said everybody. Because the silent majority, as you know, that are with me, are silent. And the people that jumped on it are not silent. And that's what Sportsnet listened to. And they didn't listen to, it's a funny thing, I think I did a pretty good thing that I did. I'm trying to think. Max Nami is with diabetes. And Max had his book out, so we showed the book. And all proceeds go to the diabetes. He had a stick and his dog, Orion, who, you know, it's a diabetes dog. And then we did something about two kids that died in Nova Scotia, two young kids, 15 and 17. And we did a thing in that and their family. And then we did the Brampton Beast, in Brampton, where I held up their sweater, and it was about Lest We Forget, and the whole deal. And not a word was said about that. Nothing. Nothing was said about all that stuff, but two words caused all the problem.
Yeah, it is so ridiculous. And here's part of the article and another part of the quote. Said, I was ready to apologize. I was going to put out a tweet or whatever they do, saying I was wrong, and I think I could have smoothed things over pretty good, but that's the way they wanted it, and that's the way it goes. He wanted to clarify what he meant, and, you know, he had an opportunity to do so to the news there, but when you have a cancel culture and everyone goes absolutely crazy, and they want to interpret things however they want to interpret it, and when you have that lens on your glasses, which is everything's racist if I say it's racist, and I have to go out there and do this, and I got to go out there, and I got to be outraged on behalf of someone else. This cancel culture junk, where you don't even give a person an opportunity to clarify or apologize, to just go out there and say, you know, that's not what I meant. You can't even give that guy that chance. It's Don Cherry. The guy's a national treasure in Canada. He's been doing those games forever. Still, they cut him loose. It's so stupid. Let me go to Jim in Kirkwood. Hey, Jim.
Thanks for taking my call. The whole premise that Don Cherry should have been fired is disgusting. Can you imagine back in the day, the likes of Jack Buck, Hank Stram, Harry Carey, these guys would have been ran out of the place the first day. Hmm. And it's not because of what they said, it's just the way they said it. And it wasn't racism. The racism card is played all the time. What Don Cherry said was excellent, was the whole point. And all he said was they. And he didn't mean that because you're an immigrant in his country or where he lives, that that's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Toronto is the most multicultural city in North America, probably. He meant nothing of that. Don, what he's done for charity and everything in Canada and the United States, that is just disgusting. And you think it's bad now, you wait. It's only going to get worse. It's sad. It is sad. It's disgusting. And it's wrong. A man like that, a treasure like you said, gets treated like that, kicked aside. It's just a shame. He's such a great, like you said, he's a treasure, dude.
Yeah, he is.
All right, people have no clue what that man does.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Jim. Good to hear from you.
Right back at you.
All right, so, yeah. The idea that you can have a relationship with a company for as long as you've had it, and by the way, his relationship with the company is to give his opinion on things. He's a commentator, so the idea is he's opinionated. All right. So the whole idea of him giving his opinion on things like, oh, it's a shame that more people don't wear the poppy flower anymore. If you want to go back and hear the whole history of the poppy flower, go back to my segment yesterday at KMOX.com/ONA. But I understand his premise. I think you have to be looking for it to be racist in order to come to the conclusion it's racist. I think you have to always be out there searching for something with your radar up. And I got to find something to be offended by right now. I got to be offended by this. You're always, always, always searching. I mean, this is a Saturday night hockey game. that they're pulling this from. It's kind of sad, and that's what cancel culture is all about. Cancel culture is, we're going to find something you did or said. We don't care how hard we find it takes us to find it. We don't care how far back we have to go. By golly, we're going to find it, and we're going to bury you for that one thing you said 20 years ago, or that one thing you did 10 years ago. Or in this case, we're going to bury you for two words you said out of context, with not what your intended meaning was, before you even have a chance to clarify or apologize for those that may have taken it the wrong way. That's how they cut him loose. So I still like Don Cherry. I have many great memories of watching him hockey night in Canada, Friday and Saturday nights in Detroit. We had the CBC, so I'd watch him all the time. And he was right on. I mean, he's a no-nonsense type of hockey guy. He'll be able to look at these things in a traditional type of hockey way and not kind of play to the modern trends. And I always respect him for that, even though he had just a minor segment. I mean, he didn't really do a lot. He wasn't play-by-play or anything. They just brought him in intermission periods. And I loved the coach's corner and his little dog that would bark during it, too. You know what happened in Chicago? They sat down with Jeremy Roenick. 670 The Score is one of our sister stations up there. He told a story that was funny. And as much as I hate Jeremy Roenick, I'm still going to play this. I think it's great. And if you want to comment too, you can 436-7900 or 800-925-1120 on Overnight America KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Welcome back to Overnight America for a couple more minutes. And I wanted to thank anyone that may be listening for the first time. I have such a great time anytime we get together, but I always have a great time when we get to spend it when it's chilly out, warming each other through the airwaves of KMOX. That's what 50,000 watts will do to you. Johnny Rabbit's got a fun presentation coming up about media here in St. Louis. In fact, we're going to join him a little after 9 o'clock. I'm excited about that. I wanted to play for you a good old Jeremy Roenick clip. And I say that tongue-in-cheek because I don't like Jeremy Roenick. I think he's a pretty boy. I think, you know, he hates St. Louis because he's a Chicago guy as well. And I think that he's very biased against the Blues. I also think that he was very colorful in a way that I didn't buy into it. So I just don't like him in general. You know, there's commentators that are colorful that you like, and there's ones that you don't. Jeremy Roenick, I don't like. Now, if you go over to TNT, I love what they put together with like Shaq and Charles Barkley. Now, those guys are over the top. They're fun. I love that side of things. Jeremy Roenick, I can care less about. But he was on our sister station up in Chicago. 670 The Score. Jeremy Roenick shared a story about Michael Jordan. And it's our sister station. It was on radio.com. So I feel like it's okay to play this for you. And I thought it was just so funny. I thought to myself, I got to replay this so everyone hears it.
Did you gamble with Jordan on the course?
So I got a good story. I don't know if I should tell on the radio, but screw it.
No one listens to our show, JR.
Yeah, right. Back in the 90s when the Bulls were on fire, this was like end of the season for us, end of the season for them. I get a call from Michael. Meet me at Sunset Ridge early. We're going to go play 18 holes. We didn't have a game. We had a day off. So I meet him at Sunset Ridge, big old Greg Kunkel, who's one of the best people in golf here in Chicago. I got to mention Greg at Sunset Ridge. So we went, we played around, beat him for a couple thousand, and I'm getting ready to leave. Now, Bulls are playing that night. They play Cleveland that night. So I'm thinking he's leaving. It's 10 o'clock. He's like, no, let's go play again. So he goes and we fill up a bag full of ice and Coors Light and we walk again. we roll around another 18 and I take him for another couple. And and now we've been drinking all afternoon. Now he's going from Sunset Ridge to the stadium to play a game. And I'm messing around. I'm like, I'm gonna call my bookie, and all the money that you just lost to me, I'm putting on Cleveland tonight. He goes, I'll tell you what. He goes, I'll bet you that we win by 20 points and I have more than 40. I'm like, done. Son of a gun goes out, scores 52, and they win by 26 or something after 18 holes of golf.
And 36 holes of golf.
36 holes of golf and having like maybe 10 Bud Lights.
Stop.
The man, Michael Jordan, to me, is probably the best athlete that I've ever seen, that I've ever been around and watched play, and, you know, the way he presented himself and played the game. And I mean, just amazing.
What year was that?
That would have been 92.
So early Jordan.
92, 93. Yeah, 92, 93, maybe 90. Yeah, so, 92 to 93.
Wow. So that was from 670 The Score, our sister station up in Chicago, and I found that on the radio.com website. They were linking to the crazy Michael Jordan story. Well, how about that? I've heard those stories before about Michael Jordan, and there's other people that talked about the Dream Team, and they would be overseas representing the United States, and Michael Jordan would go out, and he'd golf all day, and he'd drink all night, and then he would go play and put up 40 points on the board. I don't know how that's possible, that a human being could be that good and still do that and still stay as focused as he was. Now, imagine if he treated himself like the fine-tuned athlete that all the other athletes normally treat themselves, if they're taking them very seriously. What would have happened? I can't imagine getting any better than the way he was. Like, is there a way Jordan could be a better Jordan? Not possible. Maybe he could have played longer. Maybe he wouldn't have left basketball to begin with. But, man, what a story. And I'm old enough where if I don't drink enough water, I'm pretty much useless. I can't imagine going out there on the course in the sun all day, going and drinking and drinking and drinking and going out and playing and putting up 40-some points in a highly competitive, as the top of the top athletes in the world you're playing against. That's just unbelievable. So there's a couple of ways you can reach the show. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. And if you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast by going to KMOX.com/ONA. And what I would love for you to do is leave a review, give us a nice 5-star review. That really, really, really helps people find this program. I want as many people listening as we can handle it. You know, in fact, I want our digital team to come to me and say, we got too many people listening, too many people listening. Like that could ever happen. But I do want you to know, if you enjoy this program, I'm sure there's other people that would enjoy it too. And since we're on late at night, not everyone has the opportunity to be by a radio or driving in the car. This is a great way to do it. You just hop on the computer. It's all for free. We do it. It's a labor of love. Anytime you call in and you talk to producer Mike in there, he's the one that's managing and doing all of that. So thank him if you listen online, too, next time you call in. Our friend Johnny Rabbit, we're going to check in with him. He's got a presentation at the History Museum looking at some radio history in the city of St. Louis. Anytime we talk radio history, I'm in. So we're going to hook up with him coming up next hour, too. David Barnhart, a director of a film called Film, Flint, The Poisoning of an American City. Real interesting documentary he's been working on for the past several years. It's going to debut this weekend in St. Louis. We'll talk to him about it on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.